Okay. Our title for tonight's lesson is Remember to Remember. Right? A biblical survey of the concept of memory. At first I had thought of maybe talking about why it's important for us to memorize Bible truths, and even for adults, why we memorize the catechism and things like that. But I thought I'd go easy on you and not have you recite a whole bunch of things during class tonight. So instead I thought I'd talk a little bit more generally about all the different places in the Bible that tell us this concept of memory. I did a couple of quick word searches on my computer at home, and the words remember, or remembering, along with forget and forgetting, which is the opposite, but sometimes you'll find don't forget, and that's the same thing as remember. So you find those words in the Bible, just those words by themselves, a little over 300 times in Old and New Testament. And a lot of those times are in familiar verses to us, very key places. And some of those, a good number of those show up on our sheet tonight, and we'll look at a couple, Lord willing, together. Tonight we want to talk about remembering to remember. And the first thing, it's always important to remember that God, remember who God is, and that what we do is again and again an example or exemplified in who God is and what He has done. So first, let's understand that God Himself remembers. Okay? Not in the exact same way as us. It's not a struggle for God to remember like it is for us. He doesn't have to try hard. He doesn't have to review to make sure he got it right, because he has perfect memory. Once he sees or knows something the first time, he's got it down. Okay, but he does remember. The Bible uses that word a couple of different ways. Let's turn to Hebrews 6, verse 10. First of all, and I've got a whole bunch of Bible verses, old and new. A lot of them from the Psalms and Exodus, and a few from Deuteronomy. But this one's from Hebrews 6, verse 10. And who can read that for us? We have it. Okay, Jim, go ahead.
For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister.
Okay, so the point we want to see just from this verse, among other things, the apostle writing Hebrews is encouraging the church, reminding them that when they obey the Lord by His grace and strength, God watches and He remembers their good. He remembers their good works. The Bible holds that out as a comfort and reality to us. So we ought to continue to do so. Just as we know the angels watch us and learn from us, you know, God is watching us and remembering the things we have done. He remembers the good. He also remembers evil, the Bible says. And let's turn to Hosea, and here we can do a sword drill, see who finds it first. Huh? Hosea 7, verse 2. Let's see if Evan can get there first. Do you know how to spell it, Evan? Let's find out on Saturday. Who had it first? Oh, Judy. All right. Well, she was the first one to call out. Maybe somebody else had it. That's why Edna was raising her hand over here. Hosea 7, verse 2. Go ahead, Judy, if you would.
They do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own deeds have surrounded them. They are before my face.
Okay. There the God is speaking about... actually, speaking about nations that are right around Israel, one of the nations that, one of the tribes of Israel, as well as kind of kissing cousins to Israel, the Samaritans, and both of those people and their wickedness and rebellion against God. And God says, I'm remembering that. They're forgetting that I know what's going on. I know what they've done, and I'm watching, and I'll repay them for their deeds. Hell exists. We know that. We've looked at that recently. And one of the reasons hell exists is because God remembers. Alright? God is just. Part of being just means that He remembers. He remembers what we do and what we don't do. He remembers His law, those who have broken it, and those who have kept it. Or in our case, those who have kept it through Christ, who kept it in our place. He remembers that. It's actually, as I think about it, it's extremely important that God remembers that. Because otherwise, if God were the kind of God who was forgetful, then the day that you die, you better hope that he remembered that your name was written in the book of life and that Jesus died for you. Otherwise, you're doomed. So it's a pretty good thing that God remembers these things. And that really leads us into the third thing I have on our sheet. Not only does God remember good, he remembers evil, he also remembers his promises. Genesis, let's go to Genesis 9, verse 15 and 16. And we'll also turn to Isaiah, I think, because that's a couple of good places. It says something different. This is adult Bible class, right? So I have to, the more Bible verses I put on there, the more we're fulfilling the name of our little group here. Genesis 9, 15 and 16. Who can read that for us? Edna, go ahead, please.
And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, and may remember everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is around you.
All right, thank you very much. Now, we just jumped into the middle of a whole event. What's going on there? What's happening there? The flood, all right? At what point in the Bible account of the flood are we at when we get to Genesis 9? The flood is over, yep. They're actually out of the boat already, on dry land, starting to spread, and commanded again to go forth, be fruitful and multiply. You see that back in verse 7 of this chapter. And God says, I'm never going to destroy the whole earth again in this way, by water, okay? By a worldwide flood. I'll never do that again. I have a covenant, and there's a rainbow in the sky, and that's for me, not for you. That's for me, to remind me of my covenant. God remembers his promises. Another one of God's promises, and that's a promise we probably don't go around thinking of too often, that, you know, God promised us that the ocean, the glaciers are never going to melt so much that the water is going to drown all the cities. But God says that, right? Never going to flood the earth again in a complete way like that. Maybe some global warming folks need to read Genesis 9. But we need to remember these promises. Let's go to Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. And Doris, would you be able to read that for us, please?
Sure. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are continually before me.
Thank you. What is the promise being told to us in those verses?
Does
a woman forget her child? Very rarely, if ever, right? Especially a young child, which is the idea here, a nursing child, right? You'd never, you might lose your child in the supermarket because they went down the wrong aisle, but a nursing child, you wouldn't lose that. But even if that were to happen, God says, I will never forget my people. And then he even goes on to show he has written our names on the palms of his hands. Kind of a figurative way that God knows exactly who we are, and his names are inscribed in his book in heaven, and he will never forget that. A wonderful comfort, and he promises us, this has happened and I'm never going to forget it. I'm never going to forget you. God remembers. There are other places in the Bible that talk about God's memory. There are times again where people pray to God saying, Oh Lord, remember. when there's national crisis for Israel, when somebody is falling into sin, and they say, "Oh Lord, please remember your promises, forgive me." And they, again and again, you see this example in the Psalms, Moses pleading for the people, saying, "Oh Lord, remember your promises, do not consume us," and so on. And God does remember. But let's go on now to talk about you and I and our duty and privilege of remembering. And I have here on our sheet split up a couple different ways: what we are to remember, how we are to remember, and why we are to remember. First thing is, what is it that we are to remember? What is it that we are to remember? First, let's turn to Exodus 13, verse 3. That I gave you all the answers this time instead of having you fill in the blanks. I'm sorry about that. I hope I didn't offend anyone. But if you didn't bring a pencil, then you're okay because you got the answers. Exodus 13, verse 3. A lot of the different books I was looking at this afternoon and reflecting on refer to this Bible verse as kind of a key place in the Bible, a key event in the life of God's people to remember, and that tells us what it means to remember. Pat, would you be able to read that for us, please?
"And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten."
Okay, and it goes on to explain some more about the details of that feast of unleavened bread. But which day is this? How does he identify it? Which day is this that they remember?
The day that they left Egypt.
Yes. The day that they left Egypt, which is a picture of what in the Bible? One country beating up another country by way of military victory. What is the picture of Israel no longer being in Egypt and now being out of Egypt? What's the point? Mm-hmm. Yeah, freedom. Freedom from what?
Right.
From slavery. Slavery to a foreign nation, which the Bible says is a picture really of freedom of slavery to sin. Yes, absolutely. And this is the key thing. Everywhere in the Old Testament, until Christ comes, everywhere in the Old Testament, the biggest thing that people have to remember, the most important thing, is that God rescued his children from slavery in Egypt. This was God's salvation. Always reminding them of this. In fact, again and again, and for sake of time, we didn't have time to look at all these different things, but late in the Bible history of the Old Testament, when you get to the end of the Kings, and even in the prophets, all of a sudden you start to read about God promising a day when, after Israel goes into captivity, then they'll be brought back. And then it says, that day will be even more glorious than the day we were redeemed from Egypt. Now, to say that is really saying something. That'd be like saying, you know, there's something even more wonderful to remember than that Jesus died on the cross. What? That would just strike our ears as inconceivable. But there was that idea that God has done amazing, remarkable things to save us in the past. But he's even going to do something more again. And we're going to have something new to remember and to celebrate. Because God is always saving. Now, there's nothing better to remember than Jesus coming on the cross. Okay, but I'm just using that as an illustration to show how it would have been remarkable to the people that there's all these things that God has done that we can and are to remember. God's salvation. Another thing, another very familiar word in the Bible, place where God tells us to remember, and that's a few pages later in Exodus 20. Second, I'm going to ask you for some other suggestions of things you think we ought to remember in the Bible or from the Bible, so you can let your mind start to remember. Okay? We'll see what we can come up with. Exodus 20, verse 8. Jenny, could you please read that?
"Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy."
All right. Remember. All right. One of the Ten Commandments has that word in it. Remember. Remember. And I just put that down very simply. I think this is
as good a way as any to remember. To remember what this means. We are to remember God's salvation. We're also to remember God's day for remembering salvation. That's the purpose of the day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And it goes on to say that this is the day that's hallowed so that you can worship God on this day. We, of course, are supposed to remember what God has done on Monday and Tuesday. But this is the day designed especially so we stop everything, take a breath, and remember together what we're doing tonight, what we did this morning, remembering together who Jesus is, His glory that He has, that He deserves our worship, and so on, His salvation. So we're to remember God's salvation, remember the day for remembering that salvation. Psalm 103, probably don't even have to turn there, right? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Psalm 103, verse 2. Another very familiar key place in the Bible, key place in the heart of the Christian life that talks about remembering. Remembering. Okay? What are we to remember according to Psalm 103? All His benefits. All His benefits. Any, well, then I have here number 4 on our sheet. I want you guys to come up with a few if you can. What are some other things, according to the Bible, that we are to remember? You might not be able to think of a specific Bible verse that has the word remember in it. Okay, that's fine. But what are some key things in the Bible that you suppose we are to remember?
And remember in the days of thy youth, right?
Ecclesiastes 12. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. I didn't remember that verse.
Thank you.
I didn't remember the book I was going to bring in when I asked you this question. It's in the church office. It has a list. It's awesome. It's a really neat thing. It has a chart of 100 key events in the Old Testament and another chart of 100 key events in the New Testament. I was just reading through those. I was like, whoa. If I would have had to take a piece of paper and write down 100 things that happened in the Old Testament, I don't know if I would have been able to do it. But as I was reading through those, I actually did remember. You know how it is. You can't just tell somebody something out of the blue, but once somebody suggests, do you remember this? Do you remember, you know, how God used Elijah to conquer the false prophets of Baal and call down, you know, fire upon the altar there? Do you remember that? Well, yes, we all remember that. And you might not have been the first thing that you thought of, but now you remember it because I mentioned it again and again. You go through all the things that God has done, all the ways, the Old and New Testament, He has done this, and it's amazing. This person who put this chart together came up with 200 things. Well, it was 100 events in the Old, 100 events. Actually, it wasn't 100 events in the New Testament. It was just 100 events in the book of Acts. That's in the time of the New Testament church, after Christ's life. And then there's another chart in that book that says 100 prophecies which Jesus fulfilled. Right. It's 300 different things for us to remember. Be a quiz next week. All right. No. But there's certainly a few things for us in the Bible to remember. Yes?
Well, the phrase, it just popped in my head, this do in remembrance of me. I mean, every time we have communion.
Yes.
So
we are remembering. And that comes down here later as well. But that's very important. To me, the work of Christ on the cross is something we are to remember. Yeah, I didn't have that explicitly on here about salvation, but I referred to the Old Testament.
In the Lord's Supper, we do it in remembrance of Him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right.
His word and his promises, just like He remembers His promises, we should remember His promises also. Right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's it.
Yeah, it's great that God remembers His promises, but that's good for Him and good for us, but, it sure is good for us to remember those promises too, to read that. You know, even a mother would, can't imagine a mother forgetting her nursing baby. I mean, she'd have to drop the baby to forget the baby, right? I mean, the nursing baby has to be held all the time. And even older babies have to be held all the time. And but God says, I'll never forget you. Other things that you can think of. You know, there's specific events. There's maybe also teachings or concepts or things that, you know, the things that you remember about the Bible. Ron?
In, one Thanksgiving day, my dad read Deuteronomy chapter 8, where it talks about after they get into the land of Canaan and they become prosperous and their herds increase, to remember God. To remember that God is the one that brought them there. One that gives them all the wealth that they have. So it always sticks in my mind. I remember that.
Yes, that is a very good passage. To confess, when I first started preaching, I was in seminary. I don't know if I was preaching from the Old or New Testament, but somehow or another, almost every sermon I was quoting from Deuteronomy 6, 7, 8, or 9, because every one of those chapters says something about that. Remember that concept again and again. Don't forget.
Count not my iniquities. Remember them not. There's something.
Something
on that, right?
You might think of Psalm 51. Blot out my iniquities. Remember not my sins against me. I'm not sure if that's in Psalm 51 or a different psalm, but yeah, there are a number of places that say. I didn't have us read those. I know you know how to find Ezekiel, but. A little bit harder sometimes, but Ezekiel 33 verse 13 and also verse 16 and also Ezekiel 36, I remember talk about some situations where sins are remembered or not remembered depending on the person who's repentant. Yes. Other things.
The Israelites always exhorted to remember God's power, what he did in Egypt, the plagues and all that stuff too. Pretty much the same. This could happen to you too if you don't, you know, stay on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, think of the book of Judges, which didn't make my survey on this particular, again, because there's 300 some verses and I've only got one sheet of paper. The book of Judges itself in Judges 3, I think at the end of Judges 3, it describes this whole cycle that goes on. If you remember the book of Judges, Israel's in the promised land, but they don't have a king yet, and again they live for the Lord for a little while, and then they fall into sin and temptation, and then they start marrying off their children to the foreigners and living like the foreigners, and then God sends oppression and slavery and taxation and all this kind of stuff, and then they cry out for mercy and God listens and sends in a judge to deliver them, and then they're okay for a while and it all happens again, right? One is still over again, a cycle again and again. Judges, I believe it's Judges 3, identifies with this word remember or forget. It says that that's what they're doing. They're forgetting the works of the Lord, and so I got to go rescue them again. Because I'm not going to forget. I remember my promises. Okay. And again, you see that not only in Judges, but in the kings. I mean, how many of the kings at the end of their life did it say, and he was a good king? Very few. But most of them it says, you know, he walked in the ways of his father, Jeroboam or Rehoboam, and they didn't take down the high places.
I was just going to comment that I remember in teaching summer school that we taught the kids the same cycle with the prophets, how the people would fall into sin, and then God would send a prophet to remind them, and then they would obey for a while, but eventually they would forget, and then God would have to punish them, and they would cry out to the Lord, and then he would send another prophet, and so on. So that whole cycle, not just with the judges, but with the prophets also, went around and around. And regardless of how many times God sent somebody, eventually, after he died, the people would fall into the same sinful ways again, and God would punish them again, and they would cry out to the Lord again, and he would send somebody else. Just over and over and over, human nature, just the sinfulness of man, just him coming back again time after time.
Certainly glad that it's different than that now, right? isn't it? No, it's not. I remember as a young boy thinking, boy, why do I have to go through the same story again, just different people? But it's always the same story. Different names, you know, a different enemy nation, or the Moabites, the Canaanites, or the Hittites, or one of those ites. But it's always the same thing going on. But my mom said, well, that's because that's where, the way we are. She was right. Again and again. Yeah, this is definitely something to remember. Our own frailty, our proneness to sin against God and our neighbor, and our weakness to be humble. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 refers to a lot of these different things in the Old Testament. At the end of that chapter it says, all these things happen for your example. Because they didn't look there, I don't know if it uses the word remember or not, but it's the same concept. This is for your example. So watch those things, think about those things, remember them, and remember, don't be like them. And this is also possible for you. All right, very good. Well, thank you for a lot of different suggestions. A lot of all those things are perfect and good. Remember, there's at least 300 more that we didn't mention in the charts there in the church office. But they're just, it's not like they're buried in the church office. They're actually here. Those events are in the book of God, the Word of God. Well, those are some of the things we are to remember. One of the most important questions, I think, is the next one. How do you do it? How we are to remember. And the Bible tells us that also in some different ways. Some ways that are more practical than others, perhaps, but all of these are important. First, I want us to just, you know, think for a second, how is it that people remember today, in our modern culture, how do people remember other people or events?
They write them down on a calendar or somewhere else.
Write them down on a calendar?
Write it down.
Like a birthday or something like that?
Cell phone.
Or on your cell phone?
Or they take a photo or they take a video of it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that, doing that all the time. Yeah. Pictures. Be on that. Publish it for all the world to see on the internet, even if they don't care.
Read it again. Yeah,
tape recorders, yep.
Read it again and over and over. Read it.
Reading over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking, we've come through the Christmas season, and a lot of times the decorations we use remind us about Jesus and remind us about why we're celebrating Christmas. And a lot of people, I think, look at the Santa Clauses and all that sort of thing, but if you stop to really reflect on, you know, the star on a Christmas tree, I mean, it should cause us to remember the star that led the shepherds and so forth. Just in symbols?
Mm-hmm. People might use symbols. Yes, and actually there's some of those explained in the next parts of God. Gives symbols for certain purposes as a way to remember. Anybody driven on a street or been in through a town named after somebody? Yeah. All over the place, right? Some of you live on a street named after, I didn't even think about that. You live on a street with your own last name on it. Or nearby.
Forget where you live.
Forget your own name. Was there a guy named Newton somewhere, or was it just a way of saying New Town? I don't know. That's a good one.
Isaac.
Right? A lot of times, sure, we name our kids, people name their children after other relatives or other important people, or people that they think are important anyway, right? Important to them, important to their family.
I was just going to say, another way is to repeat a story over and over, to tell your children the same story every year at Christmas or every year at Thanksgiving or at some special occasion, to always repeat.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a Bible story or a family story or whatever.
Right, and some people have those kinds of stories that everybody else has heard it or not interested in hearing again. Right? Right. But everybody remembers it, whether they want to hear the story about what happened with the tractor, you know, so long ago. here it comes, right? You just know. There's, you know everything about the story. You just compare whether they said it the same way as last time. But yes, that repetition, these are different ways that we remember things. Well, how are some ways in the Bible that, what are ways that people remember that are described in the Bible? I have a few on our sheet, okay? We won't have time to turn to all of these, but I'm just going to mention some. Number two on our sheet says, how are we to remember? We can remember, or at least in the Bible times, they remembered with physical objects like rocks. In fact, I wrote an essay in seminary, or a section of my essay was called Remembering Rocks, because I was studying the book of Joshua and Judges. And it seems like one of the, not the most important theme, but one of the themes of the whole book of Judges is this concept of memorial stones or remembering rocks that are set up when Israel crosses the Jordan River into the Promised Land, when they defeat a certain battle, or when rocks are torn down, and people remember the walls being torn down at Jericho. Many different ways people set up these memorial stones, rocks. We have it today. You know, veterans, memorials all over the place. What are those things made of? Rock, right? What is sitting over on the cemetery? But rocks, right? Fancy rocks, pretty rocks. Pretty rocks with, you know, engravings in them, but they're rocks. Remembering rocks. And so this is a way that people use to remember it, because rocks last a long time. And if they're engraved deep enough, you should be able to read what it says for a long time. Because rocks have been used, there's a, I'm thinking of something called Hammurabi's Code. I plan to say that, so I don't remember how old it is, but it's old. It's from around the time of Abraham, I believe. I might be off a couple hundred years, but that's a long time ago, several thousand years ago. And it's in this ancient hieroglyphic language, but you can read it if you know, I don't know that language, but if you know that language, you can read it still, because it lasted. Okay. So you can remember, you can, otherwise everything about that culture and everything about this law would have been lost. And you can look at that and see parallels to the Ten Commandments, even.
The Rosetta Stone.
The Rosetta Stone, sure.
A very good example. People didn't know how to translate the hieroglyphics of ancient Egypt until they found the Rosetta Stone.
And now they can use that knowledge and go and study and do more things. Okay, another thing, and this is just coming through the Christmas time, definitely we remember things by sound, don't we? There are certain songs and tunes that you hear that immediately you associate with something, right? I mean, Silent Night or Away in a Manger. I was talking with somebody on the phone today, and they said, we even sang Joy to the World this Sunday. And I guess that was okay. Yeah, you can actually sing those songs, and it doesn't have to be December. Right? But we just associate those things with a certain time of year, don't we? For better or for worse, but we do associate those things. And the Bible talked about trumpet blasts and other things, the sounds that were associated with special ceremonies and remembering. Also feasts, and this is a key, feasts, festivals, meals, certainly in our country, but around the world, anytime there's something worth remembering, there's food, right? Sometimes the food is worth remembering also, right? Sometimes we're not sure what we're remembering, but we will remember the food. Sometimes the food is taken over. But these feasts in the Bible, the Passover and the Lord's Supper, people already mentioned the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus said. And the Passover also was with that in mind. Another way we are to remember, according to the Bible, is with our brain cells. Now, this is the way that we don't usually like to hear, it's the thing we don't want to hear very often, right? Because it doesn't hurt us too much to go out and buy a rock and have somebody else engrave it for the tombstone. But when I have to use my own brain cell to remember something, then that's, you know, a very personal thing. But that's okay. God says you have to love Him with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? That includes your brain cells. And that means memorizing. So let's turn to Psalm 119, to some very familiar verses also. Psalm 119, there's many verses in this little section actually that fit, but I'm just picking out a couple for our particular purpose right now. how are we to remember? It talks about, the Bible talks about memory, or memorizing things. Verse 11 and verse 16. Joan, can you read that for us, please?
Sure. 11 and 16?
Yes.
Okay. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word.
Okay. How is memory described there? Yeah. Hiding something in your heart. Keeping it there. It's hidden there. It's safe and protected. This truth, this reality, this 300 events of, that God has done in working in His people, these can be hidden not only in a book somewhere, but they can be hidden in my heart. Can be hidden in my heart. Absolutely. I'll talk a little bit more about that again. Numbers, that is one way the Bible says we are to remember. Number six. How we are to remember. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Somebody was mentioning Deuteronomy earlier. So when we look at these verses, I think we'll understand why. We are to remember, I have here on our sheet, a little bit of an interesting way of saying it, I suppose, to you. How we are to remember is with sensitivity to where God is at work in us and around us. So we're to remember by having a sensitivity as we go through life to where God might be at work today. In me, in my family, as well as around me, the things out there in the world. Okay? And I say that based on especially Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9, and also verse 12. We'll just read those. Johanna, could you read those, please?
And if these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house, and on your gates. You want me to read the other ones as well?
Yes, please.
Verse 12, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And verse 20, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in, to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commands us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is in this day. Then it will be righteousness for us, if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us.
One of the saddest things for a parent is to have a child ask them a question that they really, really want to know the answer to, and you can't answer it. You can't remember why something is a certain way. You know there's an awesome teaching opportunity there, it's something really important, and you just can't remember. And that is not to happen to the Christian, especially when it comes to who God is and what he has done. This is a wonderful example. Children ask you, what's this all about? You know, children ask questions, they see other things going on, and somebody's getting confirmed. And the child says, well, what does it mean to be confirmed? See, I remember the day I was confirmed, I had my best friend's younger brother who was, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 10, and he said, what does it mean to be confirmed? And I, having just gone through the whole stuff, all right, and just being confirmed that day, I actually had a hard time answering the question. Why? I don't know why, but anyway, I don't know why, but it's a reminder to us that we do need to know why we are doing what we're doing, and never forget all the things that God has done. And you notice that it's just a beautiful way this is described here. We were slaves, and God brought us with a mighty hand. He did these miracles. He brought us out from there so that he might bring us in. That's what we call justification and sanctification. That's what we call God makes us right in his eyes, forgiving us our sins, but then bringing us to a place to live and to serve him and be made more and more holy like Christ. He brought us out from somewhere, not to wait for the mothership to beam us up, but to bring us in to a new land and continue to serve and live for him. There's so many things here that are in this verse, and I don't want to preach that verse, but in any case, we are to remember with the sensitivity to all the things that's going on when it comes to these special times of year, Christmas, Easter, and so on. We should maybe have a little extra time in the family reading some of these places in Scripture and certainly being prepared to tell the others that we come across in the community what this is all about. And it's not Santa, right, or the Easter Bunny, or whatever the case may be. But what will we say? Well, we ought to at least have something to say. Another thing, and this was not this was kind of a last-minute addition on my part, but I'm really glad I put it on there, because I think it's a perfect Bible verse. It shows us how many different ways we can remember. And one way we can remember is with prayer. One way we can remember is with prayer. Let's go to Philippians 1. We can remember who God is and his work in his people and among his church and even for us with prayer. Philippians 1, 3 and 4. We've been in the Old Testament for so long. But time to go to the New. And let's see here. Evan, can you read that for us, please?
I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, request for you all with joy.
All right. So every time Paul remembered the Philippian church, what did he do?
Thank him.
He thanked God. You know, how do we thank God? We thank God in our prayers. In fact, it even says, I thank him always in every prayer, making requests for you with joy. So he's remembering that there are other Christians out there, and I give thanks to God for them. Whatever it is that he wants to particularly thank them for, whatever that might be, but he does remember them, that they are who they are because of Christ. Another amazing way to remember. So, in other words, remembering to remember certainly includes your brain cells when it comes to memorization. All right. But it's more than that as well. Prayer, having a proper sense of memorial stones or rocks, or, you know, in a proper sense, whatever that might mean. Properly celebrating the festivals of the Christian faith, the Lord's Supper, baptism, perhaps Good Friday and Easter as well. Having a sensitivity to all that God's doing around us in the world. Some of you are on the email list, and by Wednesday night there will be an email printed on the bulletin board from Kenya, our RCUS missionary in Kenya, and a lot of the things going on over there. And we need to be alert to the political turmoil there and what God is doing and how he's working and preserving his church even in those times right now. To be alert to those things. Remind them. And number 8, somebody once told me, it was the guy who was teaching me Hebrew, so I don't know if he had an ulterior motive. But he was telling us, yes, it's really hard to memorize and learn things, but you have to. And he said, more or less what I have here on number 8, he says, you're going to review your lessons, and then you'll forget them. And then I'm going to have you review again. And when he meant review, that was like a whole day's assignment of homework that he had to turn in. So it wasn't just, it was a tough thing. And he's going to review again, and then you'll forget. And then review again, and then you will forget again. And then review again. But then one of those times, you'll actually remember. And you won't forget it. After you review it enough times, you actually remember. Right. Or certainly remember it enough so that the next time you review, it's not as hard to review. Again and again, and somebody else said that repetition, continually going through these old stories, as I have here, hard heads need repetition. And when it comes to our who we are as Christians, it doesn't matter your personality, every one of us is a hard head and a stiff neck. That's the way God described his people in the Old Testament. And we are a stubborn sheep who like to go astray, each one into our own way. And we don't like to remember the things that God has done for us. We like to take for granted those things. We like to enjoy those things. We don't like to remember them, to really remember them. It's easy to forget them. And God knows, and so I say here, hard heads need repetition. Don't get offended by God's method. He remembers our frame. He knows that we are dust, that we are frail, and easily forget what matters. Okay? Again and again, you might read a Bible passage, and it's almost the exact same thing as another Bible passage. Why do we have to have that again? Let's just go on with the new thing. We need that repetition to remember. We need that repetition. Again and again, when you read in the life of Christ, Jesus healed another man with some sickness. He cast another demon out. So what? What's different about this from the last time? There might not be a whole lot different. But we need to remember that he could do it more than once, and that he did it. We need that repetition again and again. Let's turn to 2 Peter 1. In some ways, this is one of the best places we'll turn to all night as we start to wrap up our study. 2 Peter 1. Ellen, can you read, please, verses 12 and 13? This Apostle Peter describing what he's doing in the letter he's writing to the church.
For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you.
Okay. So he thinks it's an okay thing to keep reminding people. This is not little kids in confirmation class who haven't learned what it means that, you know, Jesus rose from the dead yet. This is you and me who've learned it 100 times, right? And been through however many Easters we've been through and heard however many sermons we've heard about all these things. And these are the people that are told, it's a good thing for me to tell it to you again. Right? And then when you understand that verse and then you go back to the context of that verse, which is verses 5 through 11, if you just let your eyes scan there, he says in verse 5, well, in my Bible, some of you maybe have a heading above verse 5. What does that say?
Fruitful growth in the faith.
So here, the call to grow in your faith, whatever you have to grow, to continue to grow. And how do you do that? He says, whatever diligence you have, add more to that. Whatever faith you have, add to that faith virtue. Add to that virtue knowledge, and to that knowledge self-control, and so on. All the way, brotherly kindness, love, and all these things. In verse 9 it says, he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Right? Don't forget that Jesus came to bring you out of the land of slavery to sin and in to his kingdom. And that means your Christian experience is more than simply saying no to certain sins. It's also saying yes to certain virtues like knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love, right? To continue to press on, to press forward. Remember these things. And all of that, after saying all that in verse 10, you'll be diligent to make your calling and election sure, as you'll never stumble. Then he says in verse 12, I'm not going to forget to keep on reminding you of these things. I know you know them, but I'm going to remind you anyway. Okay. It's very, very crucial. Review. Yes, you'll forget, but review again. You might forget again some of it, but review the work of God. That's why we keep on reading the Bible. You can't read through the Bible too many times. You can't worship God too many times. There's no point at which we've arrived. Right? To remember. Any thoughts or comments, reflections on that? Okay, well, let's close by looking quickly at a few motivations for why we are to remember. And let's turn to Psalm 9, verse 11.
Blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the city of the humble, cry of the humble.
All right, cry of the humble. When God comes to avenge those who have, persecuted you and me, he remembers us, and he also remembers them and what they've done. And in Job 8, it also says that those who have, God remembers evil, and he will repay that evil. Not with evil, but with justice. We will perish if we forget. Again and again, the Old Testament describing Israel and in the New Testament, not remembering is not just a matter of a whole bunch of people that had Alzheimer's in the Old Testament. This is different. Okay, not remembering is unbelief. Not remembering what God has done for you is unbelief. Not remembering when you were raised in the church, what you learned. Is unbelief. Not remembering is unbelief. It's not a season of walking in a different way. It's unbelief. And we will perish if we continue in that way. That's one reason to remember. There's other reasons why we ought to remember. Number two says, because we can enjoy God. When we remember things, we actually can enjoy it. We can enjoy getting to know God. And so just turn back a couple pages to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verse 2. Carolyn, would you please read that?
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night.
Okay. Remembering, thinking, chewing over in your mind, that's what meditate means, to chew over and repeat in your mind all the different angles of looking at a Bible truth, day and night. This guy, King David, in Psalm 1, says he can delight in that. He does take delight and joy in that. It's possible. And you can read later that other passage in Psalm 19 that describes the beauties and the delights of the Lord and of his word. Another reason we are to remember, number three, is so that we can share the good news with others. And Psalm 78, I preached on that at a baptism a couple years ago. It's an awesome passage. It says, we're not going to hide these things that God's done from our kids, but we're going to teach them so that they're not as stubborn and stiff-necked as we are. We're going to teach them so that they know to hope in God. So we want to share the good news. You got to remember the good news in order to share it. It's just common sense, right? You've got to have something to share. So you've got to remember. That's one reason to remember. Number four, we can obey only the things that we remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, you've got to remember that in order to obey that commandment. You've got to know that is a commandment, among other things. It's just one illustration. You can only obey. Most people don't accidentally obey anything. Right? You might have accidentally obeyed the speed limit just because you didn't know what it was. But now that you do, you probably could disobey it. Right? But typically speaking, we only obey the things that we remember. Number five, we can avoid sin and find healing, even for the messiest of circumstances. This is very important. Let's go back to Psalm 119. We read this already, but we didn't focus on the first half of the verse. Elaine, can you read verse 11?
Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Reason to remember to hide God's word in our hearts that we would not sin. It's possible God delivers that to us as a promise for his people. When we remember his word, we do not have to sin. We know how to avoid it. His word is a lamp to our feet
a light to our path always. Number six, another reason why we are to remember. Again, this, as I said, this is not conclusive. There's a lot more that can be said. This is just the tip of the iceberg on our study sheet. Another reason to remember is because facts remembered lead to faith applied. Facts remembered lead to faith applied. Again and again, the entire method of the Apostle Paul in virtually all of his letters is to first give all the facts of who Jesus is and what he has done, and then in the second half, like the book of Ephesians, first three chapters do that, and then in the second half of the book, to give all the applications. Here's now how you should live because of all the things that we remember Jesus did. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, in light of the mercies of God, all that he's done for us, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice of thankfulness to God, which is a reasonable service. And then the list goes on to a long list of all the things that the Christian is supposed to do, describing our life. Facts remembered lead to faith applied. And then in closing, these are just maybe some personal reflection thoughts, and even though it's just into the new year, it's never too late to think about these things. How we can remember not only the things of God's Word, but also how He's working in and around us. Ask yourself, what hath God wrought? What has He done in your life this past year? What has He done in your congregation this past year? What has He done in the world at large this past year that we could and ought to remember in praise to Him or in prayer in some way? And then lastly, I want to read this. I think it's helpful, perhaps. This is just on one specific thing that we talked about tonight, about memorizing. Sometimes people, those who are here probably don't have trouble with this, but sometimes people think it's not a good idea to memorize. So here's a reflection from me on memorizing Bible truth. Memorizing is not a worthless activity. For centuries, Christians have been obeying the Scripture's call to hide God's words in our heart. Christians of all ages and all intellectual abilities have done so. Every field of study has things to memorize: math, science, economics, banking, and so on. And as important as each of those areas is, memorizing what true faith is and how one gets right before God is a whole lot more important than memorizing what 5 times 5 is, or the names of the parts of the brain, or the combinations to a safe. All of us memorize, of all the things we could possibly memorize, memorizing the Bible and the Bible's truths, whether it be through the words of a catechism or something like that, has to be first and foremost in our heart and life. All right, let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this reminder to remember and the opportunity to reflect upon these things. Help us to continue to remember the things you have done for us. Help us even to read your word more and more clearly, putting the pieces together. Thank you so much for knowing our frailness and continuing to repeat yourself so that we would get the lessons we need to learn. Please forgive us our sins and draw us close to you. In Jesus' name.